Right now, let's go to Gail Trotter, conservative attorney, activist, mother of six, senior fellow of the Independent Women's Forum. She is the co-founder of Schaefer and Trotter PLC. That's a law firm in metropolitan Washington, D.C. that advises entrepreneurs and small businesses. And here we go again. The Second Amendment is under attack. Hey, Gail, welcome back to the show. It's been a while. How are you doing?
I'm great. Great to be with you, Chuck.
Hey, let me tell you, news today, they were talking about, for all of those of you who are, can't wait until 374 days till the president finally gets the hell out of the White House, cautionary note, Attorney General Loretta Lynch told the New York Magazine, "My goal is to position the Department of Justice where it will carry on all these issues long after myself and my team have moved on." And she's responding specifically to questions about how she planned to prosecute gun sellers under Obama's new executive actions. Just won't leave it alone, will he?
No, he won't. And as you know, President Obama, with his desire to increase regulations and restrictions on law-abiding gun owners in America, has been the number one marketer of guns. We've seen gun sales go up tremendously. And unfortunately, his head of the Department of Justice, Attorney General Lynch, has not done what would be effective in actually reducing violence and reducing gun violence in this country. Prosecutions for gun violations have gone down, federal prosecutions have gone down
Absolutely.
By over 40% in President Obama's administration.
You know when he had that little open forum, so to speak, on CNN with
Yes.
Anderson Cooper, I think, and the sniper's widow? I think she asked him directly, you know, I think she was the one that said, "And why is it, Mr. President, that you're not prosecuting these people that are breaking federal gun laws? What you just mentioned, how it's gone down?" He didn't even answer. No comment. It was like he wasn't even listening. He's probably trying to figure out what's the par on the fifth hole, you know, at the Maryland Open.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit like basketball. He's a basketball player, so when I watched the CNN town hall with Anderson Cooper, it seemed like President Obama was trying to run out the clock. He was filibustering his answers to the questions, and while Anderson Cooper had some good questions, they were some direct and strong questions, he didn't get answers from President Obama. President Obama just rambled and, like you said, wouldn't even answer questions like from Chris Kyle's widow, who was saying, you know, these things you're proposing, they wouldn't have stopped a single one of the murderers whose
Absolutely.
Families are represented at the town hall.
And he keeps throwing out this no-fly zone, has, you know, no-fly list or something. Yeah, has nothing all to do. I got a list of, you know, of some of the major lies he made when he did his gun control speech. But more importantly, your article, Where Tyranny Thrives, History Shows Obama's Push to Limit Gun Rights, is the first step to genocide and oppression. And let's talk about the history of this. Obama's executive actions, you say, are only the first step toward fulfilling the goal of confiscation that the New York Times advocated. And James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, give the listener just a little quick history lesson on what these fine gentlemen had to say.
Sure. James Madison, who was one of the founding fathers of our country, made reference at the time of the founding of this country that American citizens have the advantage over citizens of every other nation, and that American citizens can be armed. And Alexander Hamilton said that the best possible security against a police state is a large body of citizens who are ready to defend their own rights and those of their fellow citizens.
You kind of dropped out there, and I was filling in the rest of it. Ready to defend their own rights and those of their fellow citizens. Why, you know, I would... You know, if you really wanted to get into all kinds of conspiracy, because I'm about ready to say, why would President Obama, you know, say, oh, that's wrong. Oh, that, you know, you can't have citizens armed and protecting themselves, and you can't have somebody ready to defend their rights. But then again, I think of this guy and his past history and shady dealings and everything else. The Second Amendment, as you say, is the Founding Fathers' clear and unmistakable legal statement that an armed citizenry is the bulwark of liberty and provides the fundamental basis for law-abiding Americans to defend themselves, their families, their communities, and their nation against all aggressors, including, ultimately, a tyrannical government. And boy, there are so many cases throughout history in other places that proves what can happen here if we don't keep our eye on the ball.
That's right, and you might have noticed that in the CNN town hall, the time where President Obama got most worked up and most agitated was when he was saying that people accuse him of a conspiracy, and he got very upset at Anderson Cooper for agreeing that there might be some sort of effort to restrict people's gun rights, and he got very upset about it. But it's really interesting, if you look back at the history of the 20th century, there were 70 million mothers, fathers, sons, and daughters who were murdered by their tyrannical governments. And there was a three-step process of how these oppressive governments were able to achieve their murderous ends. The first step is what we've seen President Obama doing now, trying to have what he calls common sense or reasonable restrictions on gun rights, which eventually leads into the registration of guns, of gun ownership. That's the first step. The second step is that the government then engages in a confiscation of firearms from law-abiding citizens. And then the third step is mass oppression or genocide. And in this piece I wrote for the Daily Caller, I go through the many examples in the 20th century of where this happened. One of the famous ones is the Armenian people. The Armenians lived in the Turkish Empire, and the Ottoman Empire governors did not like the Armenian people. They were enemies of the Ottoman people. So they put into effect in 1911 a penal code that limited the individual right to keep and bear arms. They didn't have a Second Amendment to protect their citizens' individual right to protect themselves. So after that law was passed, the Ottoman Turkish government started confiscating the guns, the firearms, from the Armenian people. And they told the Armenian community that they had to start going to concentration camps. And anybody who refused, they were told that they would be killed. So the Armenian people did go to the concentration camps. They had already been disarmed. And then over 1 million of the Armenian people were killed by the Ottoman Turkish government. So that's just one example where over 1 million people were killed less than 100 years ago, where the government started by having what are called reasonable restrictions on firearms, and then proceeded to confiscate and engage in genocide.
1 million disarmed and defenseless Armenians. And you know, a side note, Gail, is that when Obama was running for president in 2008, you probably know this, the representatives, Armenian representatives, came to him and they said, if you become president, will you acknowledge the Armenian genocide? And he said, yes, I promise that I will acknowledge it. Every year on the anniversary, I will acknowledge it. Not one time. They raised hell the first time, like, oh, it was sort of a mistake, he was too busy or whatever. No, I think he knew what he was doing. But
no,
just
he doesn't
another
want the
you know,
reminder
lie
of it.
From the...
he doesn't want the reminder of it.
You know, that would...
The Armenian community has a memorial service in Washington, D.C., at the Washington National Cathedral to mark the lives of these over 1 million Armenians who were killed by the Ottoman Turkish government. And President Obama has that reminder right in the same city where he lives with his family. And yet at the same time, he's using his bully pulpit, including addresses from the Oval Office like he gave after the San Bernardino massacre, and press conferences like he did last week when he was revealing his executive action on guns, and just generally getting his surrogates out there. He uses all of that to try and advocate restrictive gun policy.
Yep. Make sure the speed bump doesn't get in his way. Hey, Gail, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Wrap things up. Gail Trotter, I'll be okay, T-R-O-T-T-E-R. This article's at the Daily Caller. Let me see here. It's GailTrotter.com and JWF.org. And the Daily Caller, of course, and I think that's DailyCaller.com. We'll check when we come back. Don't go away. We're going to talk about the Soviets and Nazi Germany, too. Be right back. CRN Chuck Wilder, my guest, Gail Trotter, T-R-O-T-T-E-R, and the website is GailTrotter.com. And this article is at the Daily Caller, and it's Daily Caller. You don't put the in there, just DailyCaller.com. And we talk about what happened to the Armenians and very little time left, but then there were two other well-known gun control, step one, step two, step three, and the Soviet citizens faced this, did they not?
They did, and we had an example all about the same time with Nazi Germany, where the government in Germany before the Nazi government, the Weimar Republic, put in gun control measures, and it was not the Nazi government, so people didn't have the same opinion, and, you know, it was snuck in ahead of time. Then the Nazis came to power and selectively enforced the gun control regulations against the Jewish community. And we all know what happened there, but a surprising part of the story is there were Jews in the Jewish ghetto of Warsaw who still had some firearms available to them. They were able to hold off the Nazi death machine for over a month, and the survival rate of Jews from that community and some other communities in occupied Europe who had access to firearms, their survival rate was higher than the Jewish communities where the Jews did not have access to firearms and could not defend themselves. I think that's really important to remember.
And, you know, when the president, as he did on the town hall meeting, and I want you to know I'm not trying to take your guns away from you. Wow. So now we know we're safe. We don't have to worry about it because he has spoken.
Right.
He
and
sort of protests loudly, right?
Yes, it protests loudly.
Yeah. What is that saying about he who protests, beware of he who might be protesting too loudly or something like that? You probably know, see.
Right, he seems to have a guilty conscience when that's the thing he gets the most fired up about, sitting in a room full of people who lost their loved ones in very horrific and very sad ways.
And, you know, you didn't see a tear, did you? You didn't see a tear when Kate Sinnell was gunned down in San Francisco, or whenever all these illegal aliens have gotten drunk and killed so many Americans, and I mean, you know, you save the tear in case of emergency. I guess he figured I've got global warming on the run now. That's good. So now I need the tear for something really good. And I know this is just me talking, but it's the way I look at it. And then when you have to backtrack like Hillary did. Oh, you know, I think that Australian gun confiscation, that sounded really good. Remember when she said that?
Oh, yes. And he was very praised. The Australian gun confiscation as well. And you can see where that's going. It's like you said at the beginning, the New York Times has advocated on their front page gun confiscation and regulation. And that is certainly where all of these regulations that seem innocent, easy, reasonable at the very beginning, but then they can be selectively enforced and they can be the ramp up to much stringer restrictions on our right to defend ourselves and our families, not only from criminals and violent attackers, but also a government that might want to do us in. And it already has happened here. It happened to Black Americans during the Civil War when they were enslaved. They were not allowed to own firearms.
Uh-huh.
And that's in part how it was able to be, the system was
perpetuated.
But
the North had, the Northern slaves had some firearms you mentioned in this story. Hey, we are all out of time. I'm so sorry we're out of time, Gail. And if you think about gun control laws, think about Chicago. Right now, first 10 days of 2016, 100 in Chicago have been shot in the first 10 days. Hey, Gail Trotter, and it's GailTrotter.com. Is that a good place to go to get all your information?
Yes, and it's G-A-Y-L-E.
G-A-Y-L-E. Very important. Gail Trotter, T-R-O-T-T-E-R, and this article, dailycaller.com. Thank you. Look forward to our next visit.
Thank you. Great to be with you.